Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, birthday woman, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday and happy birthday, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Hank. Happy Tuesday to you. And you know, I love being a birthday woman. Today's whole theme is about being a birthday woman in ways that might surprise you a little bit. And I love being celebrated by coming into the studio today, and I have a new chair in honor of, I think this is my 10th year.
It's the little things.
It is the little things. The older I get, it's the comfort of a nice chair can like make the difference between, I don't know, happiness and grumpiness. So thank you. Hank put this together for me, and I'm just relishing the comfort of my temper chair, which in itself makes me feel a little older, but...
It's Tempur-Pedic, not just temper.
No, yeah, it's the full thing. It's very nice, but thank you. But yes, I actually turned 56 yesterday, so I'm still in the glow of my birthday celebration because like most, I don't know if it's men as much, maybe I don't know if you have the same thing, but most women I know, we like to celebrate a season of our birthday. So it's not just the day, but it's probably like the few days leading up to it and the few days after that. Is that the same with you?
I prefer it that way. It doesn't always work that way, but I like a good birthday week.
I know. It's nice because if you try to cram it all into one day, you end up feeling a little disappointed. You can't do it all. And so it's nice to kind of lead up to it. I like to kind of think about what this last year was like and what I'm looking forward to moving forward and kind of do a little introspection. Man, and then I like to be alone on my birthday too, which I know that my family finds incredibly annoying because they want to participate, or maybe they don't want to participate, and they secretly are happy I don't want to have anyone there. But I really like to spend the actual day of my birth on my own, just kind of contemplating life and hanging out. And then today, post-birth, I'm really excited to, my daughter's here, my granddaughter's here, my other daughter's in town.
Got a new chair.
I mean, life is grand today. So the birthday continues. And the reason I'm most excited about this birthday at 56 is because from a Jungian perspective, Carl Jung, 56 is the beginning of a new part of our life journey. That you kind of officially leave that midlife portion of your development and move into what Jung identified as the afternoon of your life. And it's kind of this beautiful time period where you're over the angstiness of that midlife and that midlife crisis, which, you know, happens sometime between 35 and 55. And whether it's a crisis or not, there are those kind of changes that go along with midlife, that reflecting and evaluating and determining where you are and making changes if you want to. And then you enter into this space of 56 to 83, the afternoon of your life, where you're not in old age yet or old age yet. You have more wisdom. You are hopefully a grown up. We're going to talk about that and what that means to be a grown-up, because we're in a society that's terminally adolescent. You can see that in our politics. And this period of time where you move into and embrace your adult maturation and take that wisdom and you start to move inward, that the focus starts to be kind of this inward journey where you discover your spirituality, where you move towards individuation. And, you know, Jung always said that there's really no point in doing a lot of self-reflection when you're in your 30s and 40s, because you haven't had enough life experience yet to do any self-reflection. And the time period of your 20s, you know, Jung looked at the span of the life cycle as an entire day that we travel. So morning is our youth. The morning hours are our youth, when we have lots of energy and the hope for the new day. And you're busy with the work of finding a family, finding work, getting educated, creating your relationships in the grander community. And then you move to noon, and at noon is our midlife, where we kind of look back over the morning, see what we've accomplished, see if we're happy with what we accomplished. And if we are, we move forward. And if we're not, we freak out and move through a period of midlife crisis, or middle essence, as it's often called, that middle essence of feeling sad and regretful of what you didn't accomplish. And so there's this period of instability during that noon hour where the sun's, you know, beating down on us and the time is ripe to get things done. And then as the day moves on, you move into that afternoon period where I am starting today, 56, where it's about inward self-reflection, where you've kind of found yourself in a place where you have a strong sense of who you are in the community. But those are all kind of external identities that we've created in the morning and noon of our life. Those external identities of a worker, a wife, parent, community member, wherever you find yourself in your community. And then as we move into the afternoon, it becomes kind of that internal understanding of who we are, that internal identity that's at a deeper level. And then ultimately move to the sunset of our lives, our old age, if we're lucky enough to live that long. And the work of the sunset years of our life is accepting and moving towards death. But today we're going to focus on midlife, post-midlife, the afternoon of life, and what that looks like. Are you trying to leave, Hank?
Well, I would just, I will be happy to talk to you about getting old, but I also have lunch waiting. So
because, again, you're entering into that afternoon of life. It's like, look, I have my priorities straight. I need a nice meal and a comfy chair.
That's right.
But when you look at, you know, this kind of Jung's picture of that the life cycle where morning is our youth and we're working hard to get established, do you feel that you're in your noon period of midlife? Because a lot of people will argue, because of the youth culture that we're in, that you don't even start midlife until your 50s. But numerically, that doesn't work.
Right.
And so where do you see yourself on that day schedule? Are you in your midlife, do you think? Because you're 54 almost.
Yes, I will be 54 in a week, and I feel settled. I feel like I'm where I belong, both career-wise and home life-wise. I don't see a lot of changes coming up in the immediate future, so I feel happy and settled and secure.
So you're probably moving from that noon period of time into your afternoon,
yeah,
of enjoying that. And so, do you find yourself being more introspective?
I find myself thinking back a lot and thinking of, like, college days, which for the longest time felt like it was just yesterday. And now I'm like, wow, that was like 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
That's
all of a sudden it
crazy.
Feels.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did shifts. But it's interesting. I'm looking forward to having this conversation today because I wonder how many people will argue that at 56, they still feel young. They still feel, you know, energetic. They still feel like they did as a kid, and that, you know, by labeling these numbers, we're, you know, setting ourselves up to get old. And I welcome those calls, but I also think it's important to kind of reflect on what Jung talked about in this looking at a day of our as our life is just a day in the universe. That it's important to move from that morning, high energy, youthful, building your life into that noon period where you reflect forward and backward and figure out where you're going, that each of these pieces of our life are really important to our development, that ultimately at the end of all of our lives, we die. And so trying to hang on to one period of time of our life, right, to trying to hang on to that youth or trying to hang on to the productivity, or trying to hang on to that external identity really prevents us from doing the work of maturing and growing and developing wisdom, becoming grown-ups, because that's kind of the counter-argument to, you know, this idea of we want to always be youthful, you don't want to give in to age, don't talk about numbers. But along that lines, if you spend your life trying to be focused on staying young, you also can find yourself in a state of eternal adolescence.
And you touched on this, but the concept of middle age is just not, because I'm not going to live to be 110. So.
No. And as so, I think that always pulls people up short.
Yeah.
They think they're in middle age in their 50s, but the math doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so what do we call this time? And I just really love this visual of the afternoon of our lives.
I'd never heard that before you had me pull the music for today's show, but I like it.
Well, that's where we are. That's
okay.
Where we're going today.
I'll go have lunch.
Thank you. Enjoy. And we are going to have a conversation about this afternoon part of our lives and what does that look like? And what does that look like for you? Have you allowed yourself to mature and grow with peace and happily to own where you are in each part of your life? I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and you're always invited to be part of our conversation. 805-781-3875 is our number. You can also find previous shows at kcbx.org under our News Talk tab, or you can podcast our shows if you visit iTunes and search for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And if you share our podcast with other people and tell them about it. I guess if you hashtag tripod, that's the way we're starting to build kind of this awareness of the podcast world and that the show is out there in podcasts. So please feel free to share it and help grow our audience. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, you can join us on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, and you can leave messages there or see what shows are coming up. And you can always send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com, and I try my hardest to get back to you. So I talked briefly about the main theme of the show today. It was turning 56, and I've looked forward to turning 56 ever since I studied Jung back in graduate school, and this idea of entering into this afternoon portion of my life. I'm being post-midlife. I don't carry the angstiness of that midlife, that noon part of our lives where we wonder if we've measured up or accomplished all that we could, or we start to feel anxious about aging and growing and the changes that are happening. Like, I'm post that part now, and I'm in this place where I get to settle down and do more internal work. Jung saw this as a time of life to return to our life as one, with a capital O, that we begin our life, right, as a newborn baby, one complete being, and then we move through our life in these social contexts where we develop relationships with our parents and our siblings and our friends and our neighbors and then our spouse. We have this external life. We kind of lose that focus of one, of just being about ourselves that we have when we're an infant. And then as we move towards the later parts of our day, of our life, through afternoon, we start to move back toward that idea of one, being whole unto ourselves, that inner journey and growth and time of reflection, where our ego starts to move back, that we're not driven as much by our ego, and that we start to find greater joy in the simple things like a new chair or a nice conversation or watching our children play, that the angstiness of having to be productive at all times starts to move aside, and we start to really relish that inner world. And it's interesting because we've changed how we do things in our life cycle. You know, we don't get married now on average until 28 or 30 years old. So we've moved that up from an average age of 21. Our lifespan has increased since Jung did this research. So you could argue that some of these dates, these numbers, these years that we go through our youth and into our midlife and into the afternoon and into old age are pushed ahead if we're living longer, if a lot more people are living to be 100 years old. But I'm going to stick with Jung's ages, just because I'm 56 today and I'm going to start there. The other thing that struck me about this show was the end of Ira Glass was talking, the end of his show, This American Life, about grown-ups and the lack of grown-ups in our culture and the importance of embracing being a grown-up and what that looks like, and how there's something really beautiful about owning the wisdom, owning what it is to mature into yourself and to feel pride in that and to share that wisdom. And that as a culture, we don't really value that, and how unnerving it could be when you look around and realize you now have become the grown-up. Whereas for much of our life, there's, you know, our parents or even our grandparents or those elders or those people we look up to that are there ahead of us on the journey. And then you come to this point of time in your life where you look around and you realize you're it. You're the elder. And what will you do with that? And what is it like when you're at that kind of last stage of your life cycle and you've got wisdom and experience, but you're in a culture that doesn't value it? So what do you do with that? So I guess my question for you today is, where are you in your day, according to Jung? Are you in your morning years? And morning as in M-O-R-N-I-N-G, morning years. Are you young and developing your life and your family and your career, and how is that feeling for you? Or are you at your noon time of development? Are you in midlife, and that's anywhere from 35 to 55? Are you experiencing that noon time where you're looking forward and backward, that you're trying to decipher if you've liked the moves you've made or if you need to make a change and what that feels like? Or are you with me here now in the afternoon part of your life? And are you starting to experience what a lot of people have found to be the most fulfilling, and satisfying years of our entire life. Research shows that from 55 to 75, these can be the most satisfying and happy years of our lives. There's a few things that go along with that, but overall, we're finding that those are the most satisfying years, those afternoon years. Or are you in your sunset years? And how are you now looking back on your life, doing your life review, and feeling about the path that you've traveled? 805-781-3875 is an already part of the conversation. But let's kick things off kind of looking at, you know, what midlife has looked like for a lot of people. And if you're anywhere near my age, the movie City Slickers resonates somewhere in you. And the midlife crisis that Billy Crystal goes through in this movie, where he sets out to ride horses out in the middle of the West to deal with this midlife crisis he's having. And it all kind of comes to a head when he's the guest speaker at his son's career day at school, and he gets lost in what we would call middlescence, that period of remorse where you look at your life and only see sadness. Let's hear from Billy Crystal from the movie City Slickers.
Value this time in your life, kids, because this is the time in your life when you still have your choices. And it goes by so fast. When you're a teenager, you think you can do anything, and you do. Your 20s are a blur. 30s, you raise your family, you make a little money, and you think to yourself, what happened to my 20s? 40s, you grow a little pot belly, you grow another chin. The music starts to get too loud. One of your old girlfriends from high school becomes a grandmother. 50s, you have a minor surgery. You'll call it a procedure, but it's a surgery. 60s, you'll have a major surgery. The music is still loud, but it doesn't matter because you can't hear it anyway. 70s, you and the wife retire to Fort Lauderdale. Start eating dinner at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You have lunch around 10, breakfast the night before. Spend most of your time wandering around malls looking for the ultimate soft yogurt and muttering, how come the kids don't call? How come the kids don't call? The 80s, you'll have a major stroke. You end up babbling to some Jamaican nurse who your wife can't stand, but who you call mama. Any questions?
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And if you're just tuning in, yes, that was Billy Crystal from the movie City Slickers, lamenting the passage of the life cycle as he moves through middle age and kind of questioning what it's all about. And that movie is quintessential. Also around that time, Middle Age Crazy with Bruce Dern came out, and there was a lot of conversations about this fear and denial of aging and growing older and living in a culture that disdains aging, you know, that disdains being an adult or taking responsibility. We have this, you know, culture about maintaining our bodies in such a way that we can fend off aging. And, you know, and I want to stay healthy and fit. I'm not suggesting that I'm just going to let myself go or, you know, move into the potbelly stage, although my body is definitely changing. I can feel it and see it. But this isn't about staying healthy and vibrant. What it's really about is trying to delay the process of our body aging so that people will somehow be duped into thinking that we're younger than we are, that there's some shame in being 56 or 66 or 76, that there's some shame in, you know, changing your perspective. It was interesting because I was visiting my brother last week, and he's in a very youthful business. And so we were visiting this space called the WeWork, and it just reminds me how far away from my morning years or my youthful years that I am, because it's just, I can see the energy here and the excitement. It's all young people, and they're all working in these little cubicles, start up different businesses, and it's a totally different energy. It's the energy of moving forward and building your life and, you know, trying to create a career and meet people and creating a family. And I saw the energy. And then here I see my brother, who's in near me in the afternoon years of his life, trying to find his place in that. And that's so representative of a culture that as soon as you hit 50, starts to want to push you out to pasture. And it doesn't align really with what the research says is the experience of getting older, that really these younger years, your 20s and 30s, are some of the hardest, most unsatisfying, even in your 40s years of our lives, because they are fraught with financial instability and trying to create your identity. I mean, it's a really tough period of life. And that when we move into our 50s, it's really a more satisfying life. It's supposed to be. But instead of really getting to embrace that change, we have created this culture that puts up barriers to enjoying or embracing what it is to grow older. We actually disparage people whose bodies start to show wear and tear. And I think that's also very indicative of a culture that has to get a new car every 2 years or throw away a phone, or, you know, we don't repair appliances. We pitch them out. And I mean, there is no accident to the correlation between a culture that throws away everything that looks a little beat up and the way we treat people as they age and the way we treat ourselves as we age. But Jung also says that the other problem is we have an inherent fear of growing up. We have this inherent fear of actually owning our individual power or owning our strong point of view or becoming our own individual and confronting the inevitability of our death. And that a lot of our behavior in trying to maintain our adolescence is this defense mechanism against our death anxiety that we feel. And I guess moving into the afternoon part of our lives can create a great part of anxiety. So wouldn't it be powerful to move into this afternoon of our life and be able to enjoy what a lot of researchers have found can be the most splendid part of our lives? And to stick with the theme of the whole afternoon, things change in our bodies in really kind of beautiful ways that we become, in a lot of ways, more patient if we allow ourselves to grow up. We develop a sense of emotional maturity that's more than just getting older, but actually gaining wisdom. We get better at handling life's inevitabilities. We get better at handling things that when we were young would completely topple us, but now we take them in stride. As we grow and if we really allow ourselves to mature, we have a larger capacity to relate to other people in a consistent manner, you know, to not be all over the place, but to really be able to kind of be who we are and hold that space. And we have the capacity as we mature to direct our instinctive hostile energy into more creative and constructive outlets. I mean, we're young, we tend to be defensive and looking for, you know, every way that people are trying to wrong us. But as we age, we start to realize that everyone's struggling in their own world in some way. And many people don't have the time to try to make your life more miserable. And so as we get older, we have a grander capacity for love and ability to see people for who they are. And as our bodies change, our view of our sexuality changes and how we are with our partners and the enjoyment and pleasure that we have changes. And so I think it's a really beautiful time, but the challenge is how do we switch the mindset of the people going through it and the culture that's trying to deny the fact that we age and we grow. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, 805-781-3875. Where are you in your journey through life? Are you in those younger years? Are you at noon? Are you at your midlife? Because if you're 35 to 55, that's where you are. How are you feeling going through this period of time? Or have you entered into the afternoon of your life, where I have entered into? And what are you experiencing in your 56 to 83 years on this planet? What's changed for you? What are you enjoying about it? What are you not enjoying about it? And have you moved into your sunset years? So we're looking for a little post-birthday reflection. 805-781-3875. And to get you in the mood, I have a little soundtrack to go along with our afternoon theme. And my baby gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. I know that Hank is cringing because when I asked him to pull this song up for me, he said, no, we can't play that song. I said, why? It's the sounds of our youthful times. And now it's the soundtrack of moving into the afternoon period of our lives. 805-781-3875. I don't know why that song just makes me laugh, but it does. So the other piece of the story today was not just moving into the afternoon piece of her life, moving into that place of reflection, of introspection, or as Jung would say, individuation. You know, we spend a lot of time and a lot of money on trying to like individuate and understand ourselves more deeply too early in life. Like, you really aren't supposed to be doing that work until your mid-50s. So where are you in that process of growing and developing? Is it Lucian?
Yes.
Hi.
Lucian here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm feeling fabulous. I have a new chair, celebrated a birthday, get to talk to you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I want to contribute to your topic. First of all, I really respect Jung. I'm in psychiatry, and so I lean in the Jungian direction. But you're talking about aging and time, and one of the things that I wanted to share with you and your audience is I'm 63 now, and one of the things that's been crossing my mind for many years now is to not get hung up on time. Mm. And it's kind of something that started with me back in my 20s when I was struggling to get through college. And basically, if you don't get hung up on time where your goals are concerned, you eventually get to where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get hung up on time, you continue to be active in the ways that your mind wants to be active. So I still surf. I play pickleball. I'm not boasting or anything, but I think it's important to not get hung up on time. You know, maybe you can do some things that you don't think you should be doing because of your age, or maybe you can reach your goal in your 20s. If you just stay the course and don't give up on the course. But if you get hung up on time and you think, I should have finished this by now, or I should have done this by now, then that can be counterproductive as far as how you feel about yourself and life.
Well, and I appreciate that, because I think that goes along with kind of the cultural mindset we set up, that life is about checking off these boxes, and that our measurement of success is, right, getting, you know, by 30, I should have this done, and by 40, I should have this done, and that we start to hold that as the only measure of our mental health and well-being, or our success are those external accomplishments. And they can prevent us from doing the kind of more the soul work. And I wonder if we're even capable of doing that more in-depth soul work that you're talking about when we're in our 20s and 30s. Like, maybe we're driven by time because it's a part of that biological process of you know, setting up our lives.
And I guess what I'm saying is part of my maturation process is not being driven by time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend who was in a nursing home. She's passed away now. And when I turned 50, I was taking her out for a drive, and she was in her well into her 80s. And I told her it was my birthday, and she said, how old are you? And I said, I'm 50. And she said, oh, you still have a lot of miles left. She said, don't start beating yourself up over things you think you should have accomplished by now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And at the time, it hit the nail right on the head, because that's exactly what was going through my mind at that time.
Go ahead. Well,
I
think that that is kind of that city slickers or midlife place, right, where you're supposed to look back and say, have I gotten to where I thought I would be at 50? And then you kind of slide into where you are at 63 saying, you know what, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. But I wonder if you can do that at 30. Like, I wonder if a 30-year-old really is capable of slowing down and saying, I have all the time in the world. I'm not going to sweat it.
I think they do. I think maybe the 30-year-olds of today are maybe better at that than when I was 30. Because the 30-year-olds that I know have lived a lot of life, and they've done a lot of things. They've traveled way more than I ever did when I was in my 30s. So maybe that's why. Maybe they're thinking, you know what, I'm going to go do this and this and this before I start to get bogged down with responsibilities in the next part of my life.
But I wonder also, I mean, I don't remember when we were young hearing much about the existential quarter life crisis that a lot of our 25 to 30 year olds experience of feeling like, oh my gosh, the world is passing me by. Is that in, you know, is that a representative of feeling like they have a lot of time, or is that representative feeling like they have to cram in everything they can before they turn 30?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I you know, I haven't really asked that question. I mean, they're just moving forward on those things that they that they're having, like the city slickers thing going on in their 30s. Like,
exactly.
There's a really excellent film about four friends in Texas that they decided that they were going to ride horses from the border of Mexico and America to the Canadian border, and they were going to ride horses that they chose from wild horses that were up for grabs from Nevada, and they each chose, I think, three horses, and it's a great film. And they decided to do this before they began their careers, from, you know, which would spring from their graduation from college. And I thought it was an excellent film. It was really interesting what they went through along the way.
Well, and I think I love the ideas of embracing the journey, right? Trying to kind of slow it down and take it in. And maybe that is the role of the elders in our culture, right? Because the other piece of my topic today was about, do we have any grown-ups that have embraced aging and embraced the wisdom, that are willing to look back and have that conversation with the 30-year-olds and say, you have a lot of miles, and embrace the journey? Because I think there's not a lot of counter messages out there saying, you have a lot of time, enjoy the process, don't feel like you're in a rush, you know. That I think the message really constantly is, you've got to do it all now, you need to be productive, get all your degrees, keep pushing. I think we need grown-ups out there saying, it's all right, it'll all happen, just like you're trying to say, it'll all happen in its time.
Yeah, exactly. And try not to get too hung up on time.
Exactly.
You know, grow personally and be introspective and, you know, self-searching. I think it's a good thing to do from your youth until you get into your 60s, like where I'm at. And you're in your 50s now, so you got plenty of time left, I guess is what I'm saying. And maybe not focus on time so much, because sometimes time can really be a bummer.
Yeah, and we don't end up having as much time as we often think we do, and that's the other thing people have to consider. Thank you, Lucian, for taking the time to call. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of the conversation. We're talking about those afternoon years of our lives, from 56 to 83, according to Jung. It's also this period of time where we kind of start developing into our emotional maturity. Now, we become adults on paper at 18. We become adults biologically, according to neuroscience, at 25, when our brain is fully developed. But there's a difference between being an adult and being a grown-up. You know, an adult has the responsibilities of maybe caring for a family or taking on a job or paying for a home. Those are the adult duties that we have. But there's something distinctly different about becoming a grown-up, becoming someone who Murray Bowen, who is another founding father of the psychology movement in the 40s and 50s, you know, he did a lot of work around trying to help people mature and develop and become grown-ups. Because his concern was that we actually lived in a culture, and this is in the 40s that he was already saying this, in a culture where the government was not behaving as grown-ups and was unwilling to make difficult decisions that would help the country moving forward. And his concern is that if the government itself, if our culture itself cannot become a grown-up, then how can we expect family members, how can we expect adults to develop into grown-ups? And Murray Bowen said that, you know, one of the difference between an adult and someone who's a grown-up is distinguishing between our feeling processes and our intellectual processes, and having the ability to choose between having our functioning guided by our feelings or by our thoughts. And that when we have a strong sense of our own identity, and we strive to live with integrity, we are much more apt to live through our intellectual functioning and not be so easily swayed by our feelings function. And again, you can see that a lot when they do post-election interviews of why people chose to vote for who they voted for, a lot of it is a feeling process. They had a gut feeling, or I just felt this about the situation, or I felt this about the person. And a grown-up switches that perspective and approaches things from a much more rational and grounded decision-making place. And not that our feelings are less important, not that having a gut instinct or that feeling about a situation of people isn't important, but when it comes to making large decisions, important decisions, it's important to have the feelings process be one of the key guides that we have. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of this conversation. You're listening to Public Radio KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. And Larry, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Oh, that was quick. Well, I was going to say one thing, but just listening to you, it seems like it's obvious to everybody that we're in an infantile stage in terms of our politics. And I just don't think it's too surprising because we've kind of been infantilizing ourselves. Didn't somebody write a book, Infantilizing Ourselves to Death, for a long time, and saying that it's all about youth and the culture is all about youth. And I grew up in the 60s, so I'm, I guess I'm afternoon. and it was all about youth then, you know, it's about our music and whatever. But you go to the movies now and it's all made for 14-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And the recent political campaign was aimed at 14-year-olds. At least by the guy who won. So it's really not too surprising that we wound up where we are, because everybody is told. I mean, I have friends who have kids and they start planning their college, you know, depending on which preschool they go to.
Mm-hmm.
So they're taught goal, 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 achieve this goal, get the good grades, then you can get into the good school, then you get a good job, and it's all goals, and none of it's about process, which I think anybody who's gets grown up realizes that it's always about process, whatever age you are. If you aren't enjoying and getting something out of the school you're going to, other than I can pass the test and get the grade and move on to the next thing, you're not really learning anything other than how to pass that test and hit that. And I don't know. You look at the people who selected Trump, and they did exactly what you say. You know, they listened to a story that appealed to their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And right-wing radio has been telling them for years that, you know, your feelings are what you are. Fox TV tells people that a feeling is the same as an opinion, and opinion is the same as a fact. So we've come to the place where a feeling is a fact, even from the president. You know, I feel this, therefore it's a fact. And it just seems to me that it's all tied up in looking for goals rather than enjoying the process at whatever you're doing. And if you're not feeling the process and enjoying the process, whether it's learning or working or in love or whatever, you're missing the boat.
Well said, Larry. Thank you for taking the time to call. And Bruce, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, and thank you. You're the first person that ever said, I'm 55, and you're the first person I ever heard say that I am in the beginning of my afternoon time. So, That's encouraging. What I was going to say is I've kind of noticed from growing older that I've been able to leave the drama to the drama queens.
Mm-hmm.
I found the ability to leave the room when someone's in a drama. And I have people that are my age that still do this. And it's that, I think it's that calm, that be still kind of thing that I'm it's just coming over me. I realize it's really not a choice so much, but I have the ability. In my 20s, I'd want to be right in the middle of it. In my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just got this calm about me now to where if, you know, like the previous caller said about the election, you know, someone wanted to get in a big political argument, you know, or any kind of argument, or people were offended easily in family gatherings, I've just had the ability to be able to sit and listen to them, not defend myself, listen to their point of view and really not attack the other person. And it's made things so much more pleasant in my life to where I don't have to defend myself anymore. And so I've gotten an inner peace from that, I think.
Well, and I think maybe the term you're looking for, too, is a defensiveness. when you're challenged, because mm-hmm. because I want to be clear too that, you know, Jung looks at all of these different phases of the life, you know, our morning years when we're young and our noon years at midlife. They're all important in our development, and none of them are better than the others. That when you're young, you're supposed to kind of be the hothead and feel like you're invincible and right take on the world and be goal oriented. I mean, that's appropriate for that age. And in your
that's how you achieve things back then,
right? And in your noon years, you're supposed to kind of be reflective and hopefully kind of write your course or steer your course. And then that is why I brought this up. This afternoon period of time, there is a biological change that we go through, that if we allow ourselves to actually mature and grow, that Jung noted this, there's a biological change from this kind of defensiveness we had when we were young and feeling like we had to be right all the time, to not really reacting with that same anger to any feedback that people give us. We're actually better at taking constructive criticism when we're in our afternoon years of life, because it's a about that desire to expand our own self-knowledge and our own self-awareness, right? To find our personal identity and power. And that requires being able to hear people say things that you might not want to hear, but be able to hear them and move forward. And I don't know how many people who are able to just hear that criticism when they're young and not feel defensive, but that is one of the beauties of aging, is that you kind of, the ego starts to slip back. And
when you can smile, when someone points out you're wrong, you can smile and you're not gritting your teeth. You're actually smiling, and you actually tell someone, you know, wow, I never realized that.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than gritting your teeth and feeling your blood pressure go up and feeling your stomach tighten up mm-hmm. and being ready to jump back at them, you can actually smile and nod. And it's actual, you're being genuine. You're not being phony.
Right.
And you really are glad that they pointed that out, you know, and you're really okay with being wrong. There's a total peace to be able to be wrong and be okay with it.
And also,
I guess that's where I am.
And it's a beautiful place. And again, if we fight the changes in our body, if we fight the changes in our minds and our maturation, and we try to hang on to that youth eternal forever, we miss that developmental growth, that maturation into not taking life so seriously or feeling victimized all the time or dumping our problems on others, right? Like we can let go of all of those useful things because we're gracefully moving into this next phase. But because we're a culture that believes that youth is everything, we're all missing, not we're all, but quite a few people are getting stuck in this youthful temperament that doesn't serve you as you age.
No, very well said. It totally doesn't. Yeah, and it's very nice to be to where I am right now. It's very nice to be in this place.
Enjoy it, Bruce. Thanks for taking the time to call. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. We're talking about moving into those afternoon years of your life between the ages of 56 and 83. We're post-midlife. We're post kind of the angstiness of midlife. And we're just kind of getting this flow about ourselves. We're finding out more internally what we're about. We're more curious about our internal processes. And we're not so focused on the external. And the real question is now, can you find yourself in a groove, or are you going to fight the natural changes in life?
Now, John Rausch looked at the research on what's called the U-curve. Mm-hmm. And this is this body of research that has been replicated a number of times by a bunch of different researchers, showing that on average, and this is shown across different cultures and actually also among non-human primates, they looked at orangutans and chimpanzees, that shows that there is this very typical pattern, which is a U-curve, so that as you go through your early adulthood from your 20s to your 30s, happiness decreases. You bottom out into kind of a trough. And one study shows that the average nadir is 46, which means I'm a year away from bottoming out. Some say it's between 43 and 50. And as you come out the other side into your 50s, 60s, and 70s, your life improves. And there's a whole bunch of theories about why this is. But this this evidence, and Rausch talks about this, he himself is now in his early 50s, and he talks about how in his 40s he had all this professional success. He was winning national magazine awards. He had a well-paying job. And he was vaguely unhappy. And then he got to his 50s, had all these crises, and suddenly he feels happier.
And we jumped ahead a little bit, but that's okay. But this was actually an interview on CBS about an article done in The Atlantic about getting to the roots of our midlife. And I thought it was fascinating, the research behind this idea of the U curve, because it moves the whole idea of the U curve in our development is in line with a lot of what Jung was saying and a lot of what we see psychologically in our development through our life, where, you know, we start off when we're really young in our childhood, just loving everything. Every day is a party. Every day is a holiday. And then as you, you know, move into your 20s and 30s, when you're getting educated and you're trying to find a job and you're building a family and building your identity, that happiness dips down very low. And as they said, you can hit kind of your lowest point in your mid-40s. Which is in the midlife stage. And they saw, as he was talking about in the article, that there is kind of this biological connection in our development, that we are going to kind of dip through this unsatisfying part of our life. But the part that I love about the U curve, which follows what Murray Bowen would say and Jung would say, was that if you kind of keep moving through your life and trust in the process, you're going to come into your 50s and 60s and go up the other side of the curve and develop some of your highest levels of satisfaction of your entire life. Some research says that those who have stayed in their original long-term relationship and have been able to maintain good health and have had the luck of maintaining a comfortable, it doesn't have to be great wealth, but comfortable wealth, will have the most satisfying, happiest years of their lives from the ages of 55 to 75. And some researchers are saying that it can go on into your 80s now. That if we do that hard work, if we kind of survive the dip in the U curve of really kind of struggling through our 20s and 30s and 40s to build our lives, that upswing, that upside is really phenomenal. Those afternoon years of your life can be really phenomenal. So what do you think about that? Where are you on your U-curve? 805-781-3875. While you think about that, we'll do a little grooving to keep up with the vibe of the afternoon of our lives, which Jung so masterfully identified.
Grooving on a Sunday afternoon. Get away too soon. I can't imagine anything that's better. The world is ours whenever we're together. There ain't a place I like to be. It's there. Moving down a crowded avenue.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. You're listening to Public Radio, KCBX. And doing a little post-birthday celebrating today, having turned 56 yesterday, enjoying a new chair here at the studio, which it's amazing how much fun it can be to do the show sitting in something as comfortable as this. And so I'm also kind of reflecting on what this new part of life looks like, this afternoon of my life, where I've moved past my youth and I've moved past my midlife, which is nice to kind of get out of that angst period of time and to go into this space these next few decades where my life's energy, you know, will wane, my energy will shift in different ways. You know, my interests and desires will shift and change. And I guess I'm just in some ways watching this experience of development from a visitor's point of view, kind of watching myself move through it and also experiencing it fully. I can sense these changes in my priorities. It's so much fun to spend the day with my granddaughter because I really don't have anything that's as pressing or as enjoyable as just the simplicity of watching her discover bugs in the backyard. And I enjoyed that when my own daughters were young. I was especially present with my second daughter because you kind of learn that first time through how quickly it all changes. But there's something profound about the experience of being with your grandchild years later and how I don't feel the angst of having to accomplish anything or be someplace else or be something more, that I'm at peace with where I am and who I am. And I also have this other really strong feeling that Jung talked about of this returning to one, one with a capital O, that we're born one and whole, and then we spend a good period of our life being external, building our external personality and our external identity. And then we move into this afternoon phase of our lives from 56 to 83. And, you know, those numbers are relative, but from 56 to 83. And we start to become more inward again, that we start to enjoy our own company more, that we don't feel the need to be so connected or dependent on others. And it's this real sense of maturing into adulthood in another way, becoming a grown-up in a really profound way. And I was reading an interesting article I'm preparing for this by Dr. Robert Firestone, and he was talking about how most people are unaware that we spend a good part of our life, a good portion of our lives, from a child frame of reference rather than from an adult mode or an adult frame of reference. That a lot of it is because we have a culture that doesn't encourage us to grow out of adolescence or childhood, that we hang on to this idea that these are the best times in our life, which is ironic because we've just talked about the U curve and the research that shows that really the best times of our life are ahead if we do the hard work when we're young. But he also made an interesting point that a lot of what happens is that childhood trauma can cause us to develop defenses that a child develops to ward off emotional pain and kind of that existential dread that we develop, that's that anxiety we have about growing up and facing the fact that time is passing and that we are changing and growing, and that, you know, ultimately we will pass away. And so I thought that was an interesting perspective that he said a lot of what prevents us from growing out of childhood is this existential fear, this angst, this anxiety about death, and also about not wanting to feel pain as we did as children. And so a lot of the work of maturing emotionally has to do with being able to let go of those emotional needs that we didn't have met when we were young, and stop trying to have those emotional needs met as an adult. So that's Dr. Robert Firestone's work. 805-781-3875. Todd, what's on your mind today?
Hi, thank you for taking the call. I just generally want to say I really like the show, and that as someone who is aging, hopefully gracefully, I think it is important to, you know, look at your childhood and look at the issues of your own personal family. Yeah, I guess that's your nuclear family, right? Your mom, your dad, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are issues, which I think we all have issues, is to process them in some regard and put them in a healthy place and move on. It's not always easy to do, but I've had to do some of that. And trying to stay positive, I would agree with that U-curve. And the other thing I would say is that I think our health is our most important wealth. Mm-hmm. It's great to have money and not have the stress of money, but without health, I just think that's number one in being happy, is being healthy.
And it's the hardest thing to convince young people to take care of. It's, you know, working with college students, I am just amazed that they live through the 4 years the way that they abuse their bodies. And I, you know, consistently try to lecture them on all the ways they can take better care of their health, because someday they'll appreciate it. But they look at me as if I'm the old lady they see me as. Is like, what? I feel great every day. I don't need to worry about my health.
Yeah, I preach that as well. And I think they have to figure it out on their own. But if you pay attention and watch other people, that's how you learn, you know. And I guess you don't have to experience all of it yourself, all the pain and suffering, but you have to experience some of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway.
But I wonder, Todd, also, if part of our issue or our concern is that we separate out every generation. Like, our young people don't have a lot of access to the elders. You know, we have them in retirement villages or in, you know, different institutions, and we have all of our students locked up on college campuses. And, like, we don't commingle enough in our culture so that these lessons can be passed on, or that that young people can see the aging process and see it as a normal practice. I wonder if we've created a world of Google cubicles, and none of us interact.
That, you know, that's a very good point. I think it's kind of, it's like, you know, it's even in a way you could relate that to living in San Luis County and the lack of diversity. I mean, there's some diversity, but I'm from Long Beach originally, and I go down there and I see a lot more people of color. I think, wow, I live in San Luis County, which I love, but I don't get to interact with as many people that are different than me. And it's the same thing with age. You're right. I think it's important for people our age, more mature, to try to connect with young people and to try to understand where they're coming from and hopefully give them a little bit of advice or guidance in, you know, you have a lot of options. You have a lot of choices in your life, and they're so important. So I think that's a blessing to be able to do that, and I think more of it would be benefit our whole culture because we need to understand the young people, too. They're going to inherit all of this, mm-hmm. and you know, we want to see it go well. They talk about the best generation or the World War II people. I mean, they're passing on. My dad's going to be 90 in July, and, you know, he's not as sharp as he used to be, and I love talking with him about the history and his life and the depression and all that. I mean, he doesn't like to spend money. He does not want to spend money. He wants to save, and we don't have that same feeling. I can't generalize, but a lot of young people don't. It's like, okay, what am I going to buy next? What am I going to get next? You know, that's not great.
Well, and it'll be interesting. Thank you, Todd, for calling. It'll be interesting to see as we age, the end of the baby boomers, and I'm not technically a boomer. I don't think I'm a cusper. But as we age, will we embrace the wisdom of growing older? Will we allow our bodies to change naturally? Will we normalize the aging process so that the young people coming up behind us can move through their life cycle without the terror of getting old? And I think that's all has to be modeled. We, as those in our afternoon years of our life and in the sunset years of our life, need to model that acceptance and that maturity and express the joy that the upside of that U-curve and happiness can bring to us if we maintain our health and our well-being. But we have to share that knowledge, or the next generation will be doomed to trying to reinvent the wheel or struggling with the same existential crises or middle essence that generations before them did. And this has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can find previous shows at kcbx.org. You can also podcast our shows through iTunes, A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. You can always send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com or join us on Facebook. Until next Tuesday, I wish you well. I'm going to be enjoying the afternoon of my life and hopefully carrying them on for the next 20 years. Thank you for supporting Public Radio, KCBX. And all